So, usually when we look back at history, we tend to frame our greatest narratives around, well, survival.
Right, yeah.
You know, you picture this weary leader limping home after a catastrophic battle, and everyone throws a parade simply celebrating the fact that they, you know, made it out alive. The focus is entirely on just enduring.
Because a survival story is really just about outlasting the tragedy. I mean, it's about keeping your head down, weathering the storm, and making it to the other side with your life somewhat intact.
Exactly. But when you look at the events of the resurrection in the first century, that entire framework of mere survival is just, it's completely shattered.
Oh, absolutely.
We are not looking at a survival story where some religious teacher barely escaped death. We are looking at a cosmic hostile takeover.
Yeah, it is the absolute definition of a massive reality-altering shift in power.
So today, we are pulling from this month's topic in your brand new discipleship guide to extract the core mechanics of what it actually means to be a disciple of Jesus in the modern world.
Right, because we aren't interested in the theoretical or the purely academic here.
No, not at all. We want to explore how you can live out a gospel-shaped kingdom lifestyle in the actual, everyday, tangible power of the Holy Spirit.
And the foundation this material lays out is critical, because it reframes the starting point of this entire lifestyle. The resurrection isn't presented merely as a historical anomaly where Jesus, miraculously woke up in a tomb.
Right, it's so much bigger than that.
It is presented as a coronation. It was heaven's definitive, unavoidable announcement that Jesus is king over everything. Death, sin, darkness, and every single earthly or spiritual power that tries to rule your life, they have all been subjected to him.
Which totally changes the math on how we approach our faith, doesn't it?
It changes everything.
Like if you were exhausted from trying to measure up to a religious checklist, the guide establishes a lifeline right out of the gate. It says spiritual growth doesn't come from your frantic religious activity.
No, not at all. It comes strictly out of a relationship with this living king.
Because to understand how you live as a disciple, you first have to understand the nature of who you serve. I mean, a king, by definition, demands a kingdom.
Exactly. He doesn't just ask for a small corner of your weekend. He brings an entirely new domain. And if you are stepping into that kingdom, well, your core identity has to undergo a radical shift before anything else happens.
The ancient texts the material draws from are incredibly blunt about this hierarchy, too. The letters to the early churches emphasize that Christ is seated far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion.
Yeah, Jesus himself stated that he returned with all authority in heaven and on earth.
Which means the implication for you, listening right now, is that your citizenship has fundamentally transferred. You operate by a totally different set of rules now.
It is an entirely upside-down economy compared to what we are used to. I mean, in this new kingdom, the last are first. The
Right.
weak are actually the strong. The ones who give are blessed more than those who take. And perhaps most paradoxically, those who are willing to lose their lives actually find them.
Wait, hold on, though. We need to pause here because words like submission and kingdom, they're incredibly heavy
They
words.
definitely are, yeah.
You tell a modern professional, someone who has spent their entire adult life fighting for autonomy and independence, that they need to submit to a king. And their immediate translation is going to be give up your freedom and become passive.
Oh, for sure. That's the standard reaction.
So how is surrendering control of your own life supposed to be empowering? I mean, it just sounds like weakness.
It does, but that default cultural reaction completely misinterprets the mechanism of what is actually happening. In God's kingdom, submission is not about being crushed by a tyrant.
Okay.
Submission is actually the most powerful action you can possibly take, because you are not surrendering to defeat, you are aligning yourself with the ultimate victory.
Oh, wow. So you were basically stepping into the slipstream of the one who has already won the war.
Exactly. Think about the psychological burden of having to be your own God. The modern promise of complete independence, being your own boss, speaking your own truth, it's exhausting.
Carrying the weight of your entire destiny on your own shoulders. That's
Yeah.
crushing people.
Right. So when you submit to the risen king, you are yielding to someone who actually has the capacity to carry that weight. This brings us to a vital mechanism of discipleship identity always precedes assignment.
Identity before assignment. I love that.
Once you truly internalize your identity as a citizen of heaven, obedience shifts. It stops being this heavy, anxiety-inducing burden and becomes an empowering joy.
But, you know, abstract cosmic authority is completely useless if it doesn't survive a Tuesday morning traffic jam or a devastating medical diagnosis.
Right. It'd have to be practical.
So how does this shift in identity actually translate? translate into concrete power. Because the material moves us from this lofty idea of a kingdom to the very practical reality of spiritual authority.
Well, look at the psychological and spiritual shift in Peter as a prime case study. We all know the story of his failure.
Before the resurrection, he was terrified.
Exactly. He denied even knowing Jesus three times simply because a servant girl asked him a question around a fire. He was operating entirely in his own strength, and his nervous system failed him completely under pressure.
He was trying to generate his own power, and the battery just ran out.
That's a great way to put it. But observe the mechanism that takes that exact same man, cowering in the dark, and puts him in front of a massive crowd of thousands at Pentecost.
Right, he stands up and speaks with such undeniable, immense authority that 3,000 people have their lives radically changed in a single afternoon.
And that is not a natural change in personality. That is a total hostile takeover of his identity by the power of the Holy Spirit.
The guide actually pulls in this fascinating concept of delegated authority, referencing the ability believers have to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Yeah, and it is not a metaphor.
No, the material uses the historical reality of a Roman soldier to explain how this functions. A Roman soldier stationed out in the provinces didn't command authority because he was necessarily the biggest or strongest guy in the room.
Right. His physical strength was completely irrelevant.
His authority came entirely from the fact that he represented Caesar. When that soldier raised his hand, Rome was raising its hand.
The authority is completely derived from the source he represents. If he strips off the uniform and abandons his post, he is just a guy in the desert.
Yeah.
But clothed in that representation, the full weight of the empire backs his words.
So it's less like trying to build a nuclear power plant in your backyard and more like plugging a simple desk lamp into a massive citywide grid.
Ooh, that's good.
You could be a battered, cheap, fragile little desk lamp. You have no power plant hidden in your base. But the condition of the lamp doesn't matter, right? If you just, say, plugged into the source, the current flows through you and suddenly you can light up an entire room.
That is the exact mechanism of kingdom authority. The flow of power is entirely dependent on your connection. Kingdom authority only activates when you are submitted to the king, when you are plugged into the grid.
And if you unplug.
If you unplug, if you decide you want to navigate your career, your marriage, or your finances in your own strength, you cut the cord. You might make a lot of noise, but you have no actual spiritual authority.
But when that connection is live.
When you are submitted and plugged in, the material makes the reality incredibly stark. Believers can literally speak peace to chaotic storms in their lives.
Yeah, they can actively resist the enemy and watch those dark forces flee.
Exactly. They can lay hands on the sick and expect to see real physical healing. They can speak truth to dead situations and watch people be set free. It is the natural operating procedure for a citizen of heaven.
Which demands we ask about the engine driving all of this. If an everyday person has access to this explosive spiritual authority, how do they access it?
Right, because God doesn't just hand down a legal decree from the clouds and tell us to figure it out.
No, the guide transitions from the concept of authority to the actual person who empowers it, the Holy Spirit.
Jesus made a very specific promise to his followers that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. This isn't a theological concept, it is an experiential reality.
And this is the defining mechanism that separates this kingdom lifestyle from every other religious system on the planet, isn't it?
Absolutely. Other belief systems hand you a rule book, wish you the best of luck, and leave you alone to try and claw your way up to enlightenment.
Leaving you constantly wondering if you've done enough.
Right. But in the kingdom of God, the king doesn't just give you a manual. He actually moves in. He sends his spirit to dwell inside your physical body, to empower your nervous system, to rewire your mind, and to transform you from the inside out.
And when you look at how the early believers lived this out, they weren't having quiet, polite little meetings behind closed doors.
No, they prayed expectantly. They fully anticipated signs and wonders as a daily occurrence.
They healed the sick. They drove out demons. They didn't retreat from their culture. They actively invaded their world with the reality of a superior kingdom. But, I mean, I need to challenge this based on the reality most people face.
Mm-hmm.
If I have the literal power of the Holy Spirit living inside me, making darkness flee and bringing healing, why does this month's topic also clearly state that kingdom living means swimming against the current?
That's a really fair question.
Like, why are we enduring incredibly hard days? If the creator of the universe lives inside me, shouldn't my everyday life be completely free of friction?
Well, this is the profound tension of the already but not yet that every disciple has to navigate. The presence of the Holy Spirit does not instantly teleport us out of a fallen, broken world.
Yeah.
You are essentially living in two overlapping kingdoms simultaneously. You are a citizen of heaven, but you still have to navigate earthly systems. You still have to pay your mortgage, deal with toxic work environments, and face physical illness.
The material actually references the teaching of Jesus about rendering to Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Right. We honor earthly authority, we participate in society, and we are good citizens. But the absolute crux of the issue is what happens when those kingdoms collide.
When the values clash.
Exactly. When the values of your corporate job or your culture clash with the values of the king, you choose God's kingdom without hesitation.
So the Holy Spirit doesn't offer a protective bubble that prevents conflict.
No. What he provides is a deep, profound peace that is completely unattached to your external circumstances.
It's a peace that logically just shouldn't exist given the situation you are in.
It completely defies earthly logic, and it is that exact peace that allows disciples to live with such shocking boldness.
Think about the early believers staring down the most powerful religious and political authorities of their day, refusing to stop preaching.
Yeah, they looked them in the eye and said they had to obey God rather than human beings. They weren't being rebellious teenagers. Their hierarchy of authority had simply shifted. They knew who their true king was.
So this lifestyle isn't about escaping hardship. It is about walking into the fire fully empowered.
Perfectly said.
So we have this massive cosmic reality of the king's coronation, and we have the explosive power of the Holy Spirit. But this is where the theology has to survive reality.
Right, the random Tuesday.
Exactly. How do you, the listener, engage with his spirit on a random Wednesday morning when the alarm goes off, your inbox is full of crises, and you are already mentally exhausted?
This is the daily crucible of spiritual formation. The guide emphasizes that submission is never a one-time past tense event. You don't just say a prayer at an altar once and put your faith on autopilot.
The requirement is taking up your cross daily.
It's the exhausting conscious act of surrender every single morning. Because transformation is a process. We are being actively transformed into his image, step by step.
It is the gritty journey where your deeply ingrained patterns of anxiety begin to break, where your fierce pride slowly melts into actual humility, and where your instinctual fear gives way to genuine faith.
And the material grounds this in very concrete actions. Kingdom values aren't just thoughts in your head.
No, it looks like sharing your resources with someone in need when it stretches your own budget. It looks like choosing to forgive a colleague who threw you under the bus.
Yeah.
Even when it costs you your right to be angry.
Yeah, it looks like trusting God's direction when you absolutely cannot see the financial or relational outcome of the leap you are taking. And the beautiful paradox here is that this kind of daily costly obedience is exactly what produces deep joy.
Because true joy isn't found in eliminating all rules from your life. It is found in discovering the exact purpose and life you were biologically and spiritually created for.
Absolutely.
It's like steering a ship. You don't just point the ship out of the harbor, set the wheel, and go down below deck to take a nap.
Right. The ocean is too chaotic for that.
Exactly. The external currents of culture, the high winds of sudden crises, and honestly, the internal drift of your own ego and anxiety are constantly trying to smash you into the rocks. Daily surrender isn't a one-time prayer. It is the intentional mechanism of making micro adjustments every single day. It's waking up, feeling your hands, white-knuckling the wheel of your career or your family out of fear, and consciously taking your hands off, saying, okay, I am handing the navigation back to the king.
That analogy perfectly captures the relational nature of this theology. This isn't about white-knuckling your way to good behavior. True spiritual formation, actually becoming like Christ, happens gradually as we fix our attention on him.
So as you consistently yield the wheel, your internal operating system changes.
Yes. And the guide notes a fascinating side effect. You won't even have to announce this change. Your family, your neighbors, and your coworkers will physically observe the breakthrough in your life.
The atmosphere around you literally changes.
Because your obedience is no longer a rigid, joyless management of rules. It is rooted entirely in love and relationship. You aren't forcing yourself to be a good person. You are allowing yourself to be relentlessly transformed by a king that you have fallen in love with.
We have covered immense ground today. We've looked at the reality of the king's coronation, the staggering spiritual authority available to you, and the daily gritty mechanics of the Holy Spirit's power in your life.
But knowledge that isn't applied is just trivia.
Right. We want to bring this directly into your reality today. Because if this doesn't change how you live this afternoon, it remains just an interesting theory.
Exactly.
So we want to challenge you right now. What specific area of your life are you still fiercely protecting from the king? What domain are you keeping a tight, anxious grip on?
Are you terrified to trust him with your finances, so you're operating out of scarcity?
Or is there a broken relationship where you know forgiveness is the kingdom response, but your pride is demanding retribution?
Perhaps it's a career pivot you keep delaying because stepping out in faith feels far too risky and you'd rather rely on your own calculated safety net.
Or maybe it's a hidden private habit that you know is slowly draining your spiritual vitality, but you keep telling yourself you'll deal with it tomorrow.
Jesus is not interested in being a consultant for a small percentage of your life. He is the reigning king over all of it.
So take just one specific area today. You don't have to fix everything at once. Identify that one area of resistance and speak it out in honest, unsalted prayer. Simply say, Jesus, you're king. I submit my grip on this to you. Take the wheel.
And then take one actual physical step of obedience in that direction. Watch what the risen king does when you give him the legal permission to lead your life.
That is powerful.
As you process what that step looks like for you, consider this final thought. Think about the early believers in the first century. They had absolutely zero political influence.
None.
They had no institutional wealth. They were mocked, marginalized, and faced brutal systemic persecution. Yet simply by refusing to compromise and living this radically submitted, spirit-empowered kingdom lifestyle, they completely upended the most powerful empire the world had ever seen. It makes you wonder, if you and I actually stopped fighting for control of our own tiny, anxious lives and fully surrendered to the disruptive power of the Holy Spirit today, what kind of modern empires could be turned upside down?
That is the exact question we need to be asking ourselves. Thank you for diving into this month's topic with us. We challenge you to step out of the exhaustion of your own strength and into the profound adventure of the kingdom lifestyle right now.
It's totally worth it.
Remember, your faith isn't just about surviving the shipwreck. It's about walking out of the water and stepping into the authority of the king who commands the waves. We will see you next time.